What's up, strangers? This is Chris Hocker, and you're listening to the Strange Carolinas podcast. We've got a special treat for you tonight. My friend Liz is filling in for me on the main interview, and we'll be interviewing Katie Hiley about her Rainbow Bright Museum in her home. Kelly Duffy and I will talk about our own personal collections, and our musical guest is Joe Anderson. Sound cool? Then pour yourself a drink, sit back, and prepare to embrace the strange.
Hey strangers, this is Liz, and today I sat down with Katie Hiley, who not only has been running RainbowBright.net since 1997, she's also transformed the top floor of her house into a Rainbow Bright Museum.
How many items would you say that you have? Like, have you done a basic estimate or inventory?
I've done one better. Yeah, as of today, I have 3,188 items.
Oh my god! That's so... So does that include everything? Like, I remember you had a bucket of Rainbow Bright heads.
Yes!
Does that include every single bucket or every single head?
Yes. That, like, is all the duplicates. Yes. There are a select few duplicates that are not included just because they are ones I am giving away to my RainbowBright.net patrons. I'm like, I'm not even going to bother putting them on there because I'm not keeping them. But that's duplicates of basically everything I have duplicates of. But it's a lot of, you know, not everything is big and takes up space. So a lot of that is t-shirts. Like, I have over 100 Rainbow Bright, like, official Rainbow Bright t-shirts, and like over, I think, 60 unofficial ones. And then I've got sweatshirts and costumes. So that stuff just hanging in a closet. So that doesn't take up a ton of space.
Yeah, or like little teeny tiny figurines and tchotchkes.
Yeah.
Like we all had in the 80s.
Yeah. Or like greeting cards. I've got just like a section of one of my cubicle shelf things that's just full of greeting cards. So
that's,
yeah.
That's amazing. This is such a silly question. It's like picking a favorite child, but do you have a favorite item?
I think I do.
That's fair.
It's so hard to have a favorite, but I do. It's my Rainbow Bright prototype doll. Because I only have one prototype. I have a friend who has multiples. That's what she, like, she, instead of collecting just everything Rainbow Bright, she decided to concentrate on Rainbow Bright prototypes. So she has several, and they are impressive. And I love her, and I love her collection. But I got contacted by a fan in Australia, of all places. We still have no idea how this doll got to Australia. And she sent me pictures of this doll. She's like, yeah, it looks kind of similar to some of the dolls I see on your site and on other sites, but I haven't seen anything that looks quite like this. And I saw the images and I was like, either that's a really good custom or it's a prototype. So I was like, okay, check for these things. Like, does it have a tag on its back? Does the material of its outfit look hand sewn, or, you know, there are several things you can look for to identify a prototype. And she couldn't answer some of it. Like, she wasn't a seamstress, but she was like, well, there's definitely no tag on it. I don't think she was a collector herself. Again, this was so long ago, I don't quite remember even where she got it. She may have gotten it at a thrift store. Like, who knows? But I said, you know, if you're looking to sell it, I would be very happy to buy it from you. And I think she only charged me like $300, I want to say. And it's definitely worth more than that now. And what it is, it's a dress-up Rainbow Bright, which there was a line of dress-up dolls at the very end of the Rainbow Bright toy line. They made Rainbow Bright herself, Tickle Pink, and Moon Glow. But this one, I got it and immediately was just like, oh dear God, this is way better than any of the pictures. She may have even scanned the doll. Like, or is that the Moon Glow I bought? I know there was one doll I bought that they had just put it on a scanner and scanned it. But whatever the case, like, the pictures did not do it justice. Once I got it in hand, I was like, oh my God. And it's in immaculate condition. It's just, it's beautiful. And what it is, it is Dress Up Rainbow Bright, but its outfit is completely different. And it is actually hand sewn. Like, I kind of call her Space Bright because it's there's a lot of like silver, and she just looks...
I've seen her. There's kind of some iridescent deep.
Yeah. She's very just futuristic looking in her outfit. So yeah, I put her in a little plastic box so she doesn't get dusty like everything else does. but yeah, I have to say that's my favorite because she's just so special.
That's amazing. I was wondering if you had like a partnership with Hallmark or if you just kind of like bought all their stuff and promote their, you know, you have unboxings and things.
Yeah, it's honestly a bit of both. I made myself some notes because I thought you were going to ask me about this. So I was like, let me think back because I have to go back in time to remember when all this started. So from what I recall, I began collaborating with Hallmark actually back in late 2002. We had email interactions, and I remember at least one phone conversation with one or two ladies at Hallmark, and they mailed me a huge box of items that were not yet available for purchase at that time. Two of which I believe are sample dolls. I'll get to that in a second. And I'm not 100% certain, but I believe a few of the smaller items they sent me actually were never sold. So again, they're just sample items that they were thinking about selling, and then they changed their mind. But I'm not 100% sure that those were never sold. There were like beaded bracelets, this Rainbow Bright ring, a slap bracelet. So I just need to talk to some more fans or post pictures and be like, do any of you have one of these? I'm just curious. So yeah, that was the first time they reached out to me as like a resource and a partner, a partnership type thing. Because before then, I don't try to remember what year it was, I had put up all the episodes up for download, and I got a nasty gram from them saying that I needed to take them down. Or
you got a cease and desist from Walmart?
I did. And it was really funny too, because I deleted the...
Did you frame it? Because you might be the only person in the world.
I don't know. I'm honestly, though, I probably do still have that file somewhere, because I am a data pack rat. I don't get rid of anything. But yeah, so what I did was I deleted the links to the files on my server, but I did not delete them from my web server. So if anybody still happened to have the link saved, they could still download them. And they weren't happy about that at first, but I was like, hey, I can do what I want to on my own server. You know, I did what you asked. I took down the links. If other people have them, that's not my problem.
Rainbow Land Museum has been closed during the pandemic, but normally you're open just by appointment when anybody gets in touch with you.
I actually counted it up, and I've had a total of 36, and that's not like 36 individual visits. That's 36 people. So sometimes it'll be a parent and a kid, or a parent and several kids, or just two adults, or etc., or one adult. It depends. And my biggest year was, I set it up in 2013, or sorry, very end of 2012 is actually when I set it up, because we were hosting for Christmas that year, and I wanted it to be set up for my niece and nephew to appreciate. So I like scrambled, because we moved in October, and I had to get this done by Christmas, so I did. Like, Adam built me custom shelving everything. It was great. So I got it done by the end of that year. And then 2013 is when I had my first visitor. And that was Vincent, the one who helped me in the very, very beginning when I was making my first website. And I didn't know how to rotate an image. And he, like, taught me how to do that. Like, he was my mentor kind of for a while. And I just love that guy. He's a writer also. Vincent M. Wales. Sorry, I said that weird. If anybody wants to look him up, he writes good books. But 2014 was my biggest year. I had 19 visitors that year.
Well, that's when you got picked up by...
That was a lot of fun.
...major media outlets.
So that,
how did that happen?
First article, I've forgotten now what the website is that it was on, or the news outlet. I could find it. But a huge Rainbow Bright fan who I've known through the fandom for years, like since the 90s, she is a journalist and she was working for that news outlet. So she's like, hey, has anybody ever interviewed you about your collection? I'm like, actually, no. And she's like, could I? I'm like, yes. So she did it. And we just happened to know each other, and then it got picked up by all of these other news outlets. And yeah, I started keeping track. I think I have a blog post where I have links to like all of them because I'm so proud that it kind of got spread around the internet. And of course, some people were making disparaging comments like, oh, this woman must have 50 amazing cats and live alone. And you know, because they thought that the pictures were my entire house. Like they thought that the bed in the pictures was my bed that I slept on. I'm like, oh, honey, no, this is just part of my house. So yeah, there's a little bit of that, but whatever. Most people were very impressed, and I've done video tours since then. There are a couple of them, one on my own YouTube channel and one on Playtime Masters, which is a friend of mine that I know through the He-Man fandom who interviewed me. That was actually earlier this year. And we just did a Zoom thing and we just walked through the museum. So it's like a walking interview going through the museum. So there's a couple ways for people to experience it virtually when it's not open right now, sadly.
We'll return to Liz's interview with Katie Hiley after a word from our sponsor.
What's your first memory of Rainbow Bright herself? Like, when was the moment you fell in love? Or do you just remember a general, like...
It was more of a general thing. And what got me was the commercials. Of all things, the commercials for the Rainbow Bright toys, because they used music from The Wizard of Oz. Somehow they got the rights to the music, and they just made different lyrics to go along with the music. So each commercial has, like, a different tune from The Wizard of Oz in it with different lyrics that go with Rainbow Bright. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I've always loved rainbows.
You've dressed up as Rainbow Bright for Halloween, obviously.
Yeah.
What other, like, collectibles did you have as a kid?
Okay, let's see. So I didn't have a lot of Rainbow Bright dolls, honestly, as a kid. Like, I loved the commercials. I remember watching at least one episode, but I wasn't like a massive fan of it at the time. Like, I just had a few things here and there, but I also had a few Care Bears and a few My Little Ponies. I had a little bit of everything. I had a few Popples. I was really into He-Man, actually, because my brother was into it and it was something we could play with together.
So Rainbow Bright wasn't like your main jam?
No.
Growing up.
I don't think.
Really?
I think He-Man was, yeah, He-Man would be my main jam growing up. And then She-Ra, when it came along, it just, they melded together into one. So I see them equally as important to my childhood. And so, yeah, it's really funny to me that Rainbow Bright is what I ended up fixating on.
I remember getting on the internet when I first got the internet, and I was like 15, but I was still like, I wonder if Rainbow Bright's got a website. And she did, and you were running it. Were you also running, like, a He-Man page or a She-Ra page or
actually,
any of the others?
Yeah, for a time. My very first page was Rainbow Bright, and then I started building separate pages and, like, linking to them. So, yeah, I had a He-Man page, a She-Ra page. At one point, I had, what was it? It was like 80s Chicas, 80s cartoons page. And I had a page for like all the, there was some cartoons I had never even seen as a child, but I knew of them and I found like a book or something I could scan so I'd have a picture to put on it. And
yeah, so what was the thing that made you go like, okay, she's my main gal, that's what I'm zeroing in on, and this is what my life is going to be, is all Rainbow Bright all the time.
Yeah, that actually happened before the website. So 1995 is when I like got my driver's permit or license or whatever, because in South Carolina, you can get it when you're 15.
Yeah, I lived in South Carolina then.
Yeah.
School freshman year.
Right? It was amazing. So, and I was not having a great time at home. My parents divorced when I was 11, and at the age of 15, I was living with my dad and stepmom and stepfamily. My brother had graduated high school, so he wasn't around anymore. So I was feeling very alone, and I had some great friends at school. So I spent a lot of time at school and doing extracurricular. You know, I was in the orchestra, I was in theater. I would just do just about anything to stay out of the house. And I was working part-time jobs, things like this. But I started after school, I would go to thrift stores. And that was also just like my style at the time was vintage. I was getting into vintage clothing in the mid-90s, which was like, nobody was doing that yet. I don't know why I was, but it was whatever. So I would go find these crazy vintage clothes that people had donated. And that's what I was looking for. But then one day I just happened to walk around the like knickknack section where they just have random stuff. And there was a Rainbow Bright record player of all things. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. I never knew they made a record player and Rainbow Bright. All that brings back such fond memories. Like, I still remember the tune and I can see it in my head and like all the colors and I still love rainbows and etc. So I bought the record player. And then when I would go back, like, yeah, I would still look for clothes, but then I started looking through like sheets and I found Rainbow Bright bed sheets and I would buy those.
Yeah.
And then I started looking through toys and I'd find dolls. I'd buy those. I'd look through the books and I'd find Rainbow Bright children's books. I'd buy those. So, and actually at that time I was buying more than just Rainbow Bright, but I was like Rainbow Bright was still the one I was mostly looking for. But if I came across a Wuzzle or a Care Bear, oh, heck yeah, I would pick that up too. Until eventually I had way too much crap and I had to sell it off. But I kept all the Rainbow Bright. But during that time, from like 15 to 17, that became just somehow a huge part of my personality. Like I got a friend of mine that I had known since we were pretty young. Somehow she found out that I was collecting Rainbow Bright stuff or that I liked Rainbow Bright again. And she had the Rainbow Bright record from when she was a kid and she didn't listen to it anymore. She was done with it. So she gave it to me, but I had not grown up with it. I had never heard this album before. So I transferred it to a cassette tape and I played it in my car driving to and from high school. Like this is, you know, and I would like give rides to friends going places and they're like, why are you listening to children's music?
Was your first like addition to your collection from somebody else was the record? Was that like the first time it became like, oh, I'm actually getting things from other people? Because now you have a whole, like you get a ton of stuff from other people. Was that like the first time somebody was like, hey, I got something to contribute to you?
You know, I think it was. There was that and then, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was after that that a friend of my stepsister had a copy of the Rainbow Bright movie, Star Stealer, that I think she had recorded off of TV. But I had never seen the movie because, again, I didn't grow up watching all of the episodes. I didn't grow up watching the movie. I didn't even know it existed. So she just gave it to me because, again, she was in high school then. She didn't think she was ever going to watch it again. But all of a sudden, this was brand new material to me. And I also started collecting the VHS tapes so I could watch all the episodes. So I was just getting caught up, basically, with the people who grew up watching it constantly. Because I know fans who would go to the, you know, Blockbuster or wherever and just rent Rainbow Bright VHS tapes over and over and over. Whereas I was usually renting movies and just random. I don't think I ever rented cartoons. I don't remember doing that.
I need to wrap it up, but thank you so much for joining us today, Katie. And it's again, that's rainbowbright.net, and you can find anything Rainbow Bright or Rainbow Land Museum through the links there. Do you have anything else you need to
really,
let us know about?
Like I said, Truffle Shuffle is the only one putting out new stuff right now, so
okay,
I'm hoping that'll change, but who knows? You know, Hallmark seems to go in these like 5-year cycles, so if 2015, although 2015 was when the last one started, but it lasted for a good while. It lasted longer than most iterations have, so they might do a 10-year. So I'm still hopeful.
Sure, yeah.
Like they own the property, so they can easily do whatever they want with it. whenever they want. And I know they had a lot of cutbacks this year with the pandemic, so I don't expect them to be doing much right now with it. But I do hope, I do still have hope for the future that they will still do more, because so many people still love her so much and have so many fond memories of this little cartoon that had 13 little episodes and a movie and 10 bazillion dolls and other pieces of merchandise. I just love that she left this colorful imprint on so many people's lives, and they're sharing her with their children now, and etc. And I'm just hoping that's going to continue ad nauseum forever. So my goal in life is just to keep her alive as long as I'm alive. And that's what I'm going to keep doing.
Coming up next is Callback with Kelly. What's up, strangers? It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Callback with Kelly. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good myself. Earlier in the podcast, Liz spoke with Katie about her massive Rainbow Bright collection. Hmm. Do you collect anything?
I do. I do collect things. Nothing weird.
Not like teeth of your victims or anything like that, right?
I could go into a whole story. I collect my children's baby teeth, but that's another day. They're in a cup. But like I said, this is about, I was a big collector of monster models. You know, the ones that you kind of glue, you put together and you paint. You can find them in any sort of like hobby shop. I was big on monsters. So I had a Creature from the Black Lagoon model. I had a Frankenstein one that was very intricate. A Wolfman one. And I had several Godzilla ones. So they took a big chunk of time to assemble. You know, as a little kid, that kind of sucks up a lot of your day. So, and you would paint them and glue them. And I honestly think I have permanent brain damage from the model glue and paint fumes. But like, you know, those are kind of delicate things for little kids to sort of collect. So as I got a little bit older, I started obsessively collecting action figures. And honestly, it was mostly Star Wars. That became huge when I was little. And that's kind of when like the little tiny, well, I guess they call them like 4-inch action figures came out. And personally, I never lost the urge to buy action figures. And when my son was little, he became obsessed with Star Wars. And not only did I unbox all of my old action figures, which of course my husband's eyes got huge when he saw how many I had, but I started buying them again, and under the guise of, oh, my kid loves them. And then I started grabbing like all the rare collectible limited edition action figures. And soon we would have giant boxes filled with them. And to this day, honestly, if I see a rare or interesting one, I will actually pick it up. And when we moved houses, my husband tried to throw out all the toys, and because my kids at that point were in high school, and I'm like, absolutely not. These are worth a fortune. I would not allow him. And, you know, we also did like Lego, complex Lego sets, you know, like the architectural ones and the buildings. And a lot of those got brutalized due to the age of my kids when we assembled them. But a few made it through, you know. But I was never as obsessive with the Legos as I was with the action figures, which to this day, I will still take out and look at. If you can believe it. How about you? Don't you laugh at me.
Sorry. I'm just picturing you sitting around your house while all the kids are at school looking at your action figures.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's more fun than it sounds. You would be surprised how satisfying it is to look at my stuff. How about you? Do you collect anything?
You mean besides failures and broken dreams?
Yes.
I mean, as a kid, I didn't really collect anything. I mean, I did baseball cards and stuff like that, but I pretty much just had my favorites, and the others, I guess, when I collected them so much as I never just didn't throw them away or something like that. Hmm. But, I mean, I collected like my favorite teams and a few from the others, but like I said, the others, I wasn't like a completist or anything like that.
No, I get that. Yeah. But because I think everybody collected baseball cards. That was really popular.
Yeah. I mean, I had Star Wars toys that I actually played with. I didn't so much collect them.
Okay. Well, I played with mine too. So let's not make me out to be a complete weirdo. But yes, I did collect them.
They were
not worth collecting by the time I got through with them. But I mean, now I haven't really added to this collection in a while, but there for a while I was really collecting bobbleheads or bobbing heads or nodders. Or
I know what you mean. Yeah. Do you have any interesting ones?
Well, I mean, mostly they're like sports figures or like advertising icons or stuff like that. But however, my wife, actually, Allison, she actually made me six. She made me one of herself, which is kind of vain once you think about it.
No, that's awesome, though.
But she made Jack and Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, because this was the 90s and everybody was into that. And she also made me Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Lock, Shock, and Barrel from the same movie.
So wait a minute. She made these by hand?
Yeah. She molded them with clay, and then she fired up the oven and cooked them so they would stay. And put a little spring inside their head to put onto the body, and then painted them. And
this is like a huge hidden talent that you've been keeping under the covers. That's amazing.
No, my wife's very talented.
But
don't brag, I guess.
Well, you need to. That's a huge endeavor. I mean, here I am talking about, I put together models with glue and paint, and she handcrafted specific bobbleheads that would be to your liking and gave them to you as a gift. I find that incredible.
Yeah. There was a time when she actually made hats for Beanie Babies too.
Oh, that was another collectible thing that everybody went nuts about. That.
We went to a few shows and sold them and crap like that too along the way.
Did you make any money?
I don't know. I had fun looking at all the weirdos, yeah. But that's about it.
Well, you know what? One man's weirdo collection is another man's joy. So don't. I know a woman that like went from when she was young, started collecting things like, I remember it was like she did Cabbage Patch Kids, and then all of a sudden she went off that, and then she went on, collected all these stickers. Remember those Garbage Pail Kids that were like the ripoff?
Right.
And then after that, she started, I heard back like when Beanie Babies became popular, that she had entire rooms full of her house filled. And apparently they were worth some outrageous amount of money.
They were until it crashed.
Yeah, it's like the financial crash, except the Beanie Baby crash in the late 90s.
At least you can give these to your dog to play with at the end of the day, though.
That's true. But I mean, growing up, I mean, I remember so many people. I remember adults being collectors of things. Like, I remember people would have, like, what was the whole thing about, you would have, like, a room with a theme. I remember one lady used to collect mushrooms, and her whole kitchen was done with mushrooms. And I remember adults used to collect things like Hummels. And remember those precious moments, the big-eyed things?
Yeah.
And dads always had like a room with beer steins from Germany in them.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, I mean, it's not like we came by this out of the blue. So, you know, we were descended from people that used to collect junk.
You know what I loved? We didn't really collect them so much as bug our parents to get them was the glass, like, with like Pepe Le Pew and crap like that on it that you would get from the, I don't know if it was Hardee's or Wendy's or McDonald's, or he was doing it back in the day.
Yes.
They were like huge glasses.
Yes.
God, I love those.
No, and everything was a collectible back then. And of course, back then, I never threw anything out. So I was, you know, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I'll keep this for 10 years. And I would literally, you know, either, like you said, the cup, you would get the glass. You go, oh my God, you would be in your cabinet for 25 years. So yeah, I mean, honestly, it's fun while it lasts. I mean, sometimes I do pause and look at my gigantic boxes of action figures that are now taking up the entire right side of my attic, and I'm like, huh, is it time to give these to a child that might actually and my kids make fun of me, but like to this day, I mean, I go to Disney World constantly with, and even now without my kids because they're older. But if I go and I get off the Star Wars ride, and if I see that there's a Star Wars collectible, I remember we got off the ride and my kids are like, don't buy that. I'm like, why not? It's going to be worth something. And they're like, no, you have children who are not interested in action figures anymore. It's just weird now.
But see, it's not going to be worth anything. That's the thing. Back in the 70s, yeah, it wasn't as mass produced as it is today.
Now you're bursting my bubble. Now I'm feeling like all that's not going to be worth it.
I'm letting you collect failures and broken dreams too.
Oh, man, I feel bad. Now they're all going to end up on the top of a garbage heap. Can you imagine that? I'm going to put it in my will. Somebody has to take care of my action figures.
Because we know your husband's just going to toss them as soon as he gets a chance.
He's going to probably put them on the funeral pyre with me. He'll burn them. He'll throw them in the casket.
Oh, well. So, I guess that's it for tonight. You social distancing Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we're doing a social distance Thanksgiving. We're just chilling, making a small turkey, hanging out. How about you guys?
Yeah. We'll just say yeah.
We'll just say a very low yeah.
Listening.
Yep, I hear you.
All right. Well, hey, have a good week. Have some good turkey, and I'll see you next week.
You too. Take care, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Up next is musical guest Joe Anderson. Raleigh native musician and chef Joe Anderson, a.k.a. Josafo, has played in lots of local bands before venturing out on his own with two solo albums this year. The song Let It Go appears on the album Aquamarine Trends and can be found on pretty much any streaming service. Fun fact, Aquamarine Trends is an anagram for Quarantine Dreams. Here's Joe Anderson with Let It Go. How did we come so very far?
just trying to fix what's broken. Please just let it go. Heartbroken and outspoken. Two wrongs don't make it right. Please, please try.
That's it for this time, strangers. We'd like to thank everyone who appeared on this episode of the Strange Carolinas podcast. Katie Hiley, Liz, Kelly Duffy, and Joe Anderson. Most of all, I'd like to thank you for listening to Strange Carolinas. If you liked it, I hope you'll become a repeat listener and tell all your friends about it. If you're feeling extra generous, rate us and give us a review, please. Until next time, remember to embrace the strange and please play nice with each other. And oh yeah. Have a happy Thanksgiving.